Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 17, Text 159. Refuting the Kashi's statement, the Lord immediately replied, "The Vedas clearly enjoin that cows should not be killed. Therefore, any Hindu, whoever he may be, does not indulge in cow killing." Purport. In the Vedic scriptures, there are concessions for meat eaters. It is said that if one wants to eat meat, he should kill a goat before the goddess Kali and then eat its meat. Meat eaters are not allowed to purchase meat or flesh from a market or slaughterhouse. There are no sanctions for maintaining regular slaughterhouses to satisfy the tongues of meat eaters. As far as cow killing is concerned, it is completely forbidden. Since the cow is considered a mother, how could the Vedas allow cow killing? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that the Kashi's statement was faulty. In Bhagavad Gita, there is a clear injunction that cows should be protected. Krishi go rakshavani jam boishakarma subhavajam. The duty of Vaishyas is to produce agricultural products, trade, and give protection to cows. Therefore, it is a false statement that the Vedic scriptures contain injunctions permitting cow killing. Om Gana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dathati Shapadantikam Mandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitamstam Sajivam. I think that chair can be made available, that one behind you. Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamstra He Krishna Kurana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kolpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, the ladies can move up. You're all packed in there. Okay, good. And the men can move over a little this way too, then it'll give some more space, more people come. And we can check the cell phones and see that they're tame. And we're good to go. And what time do we go to on Saturday? 9. Okay. So the backstory is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets the Kashi, who has prohibited Sankirtan, and the Lord defies him and goes with a big Sankirtan party, and there's a discussion takes place. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu challenges that, what kind of religion are you following, where you kill your father and mother? Is this all right? The microphone should be a little higher. I mean, physically higher. Can you hear all right? Maybe we make it. Now it's good, right? Okay. What kind of religion is this where you kill your father and mother? The cow is giving you milk. The bull is producing grains for you. So they're your father and your mother, and you're killing them. You think this is a very good religion? And the Qazi replied, well, you have your scriptures, we have our scripture. In our scripture, there are two paths, the path of enjoyment and the path of decreasing enjoyment. So on the decreasing enjoyment path, the killing of animals is forbidden, but on the path of material progress, cow killing is allowed. So it's done under the guidance of scripture, no harm. And on the other side, your scriptures allow cow killing too. Qazi knew something about Vedic literature, so he said there are injunctions for cow killing also in your scriptures. And then we come to this point that no, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there's no scope for cow killing. Govada nished. Ateva hindu matra na kore govad. In the Vedic literature, cow killing is completely forbidden, and therefore there's no scope for a Hindu eating cow's flesh. So several points can be raised. First is that just see the degraded condition of the so-called Hindu culture, where they're now feel at liberty to eat anything and everything, including cow's flesh. Our Bengal is the number one producer of beef. Slaughter industry in Bengal is notorious. In other parts also of India, it's going on. Prabhupada remarked that during his time he saw for the first time, a sign in Juhu, beef shop. And he said that just see what it's come to. That formerly the meat eating was going on, but it would never be advertised. And here they're not only advertising meat, but beef also. So they're advertising how sinful they are. And Juhu is a sophisticated quarter, and these things are going on. So, Hindu matra na kore govad. Any self-respecting Hindu can't possibly eat cow flesh. But things have gone so far down that, what's your religion? Hindu. And do you eat beef? Oh, yes. Therefore, we're not in favor of this religion or that religion, whether it's Hindu religion, Islam, Christianity, this one, that one. Dharma prochita koita vocha padamo nirmatsaranam sata. We're in favor of Bhagavad Dharma. In Bhagavad Dharma, cheating religion is kicked out. Prochita dharma, koitava dharma, prochita. Cheating religion is kicked out. What is that cheating religion? Srila Sridhar Swami comments, dharmartha kama moksha. The religious principles that are adopted for the sake of economic development, for the sake of sense gratification, and when you're done with sense gratification, then impersonal liberation. This is all cheating. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, it's rejected. Prochita, kicked out. So that's the first thing, that dharmasya yapavargasya nartortai upakalpate. The religious principles are meant for getting free from material existence and going back home, back to Godhead, not for a happy life of sense gratification in this material world. That's the first mistake. And the second mistake is even going beyond moral principles for sense gratification. For sense gratification, we do anything. It may be moral, it may be immoral, it may be religious, it may be irreligious. But if it promotes sense gratification, if it promotes economic development, then we do it. This is the modern standard. Religious or irreligious is not the consideration. Moral or immoral is not the consideration. Does it promote economic development? Does it help the economy? Does it promote happiness? Then we're for it. That's all. And they call themselves religious or this or that. I'm a Christian, I'm a Jew, I'm a Hindu, I'm a this, I'm a that. But my real religion is economic development and sense gratification. That means Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. Cheating religion. And the different cheating religions are competing with one another and using religion as an excuse for every kind of degradation. We hear a lot in the United States of the so-called, clash of civilizations, which has to do with the Western culture and Islam and at loggerheads. But they're not at loggerheads. They're in agreement. Life is meant for sense gratification. Life is meant for sense gratification. That's the principle. And the same degradation is going on. Intoxication, gambling, unrestricted animal killing, and illicit sex. This is going on. So the cows are not to be killed. This is, and also significant here is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not willing or we don't find here that he engages in a deep theological discourse with the Kashi about the Vedas and the Quran and all of that. His immediate position is, what is this cow killing? What is this cow killing? What is this religion of killing and eating your mother's flesh? Killing your mother and eating her flesh. What is that? We're not going to talk theology here. This is point one. How can you kill your mother and call yourself religious? That was Prabhupada's platform also. He would meet with priests or other religious people. And that was his, invariably almost, that was his point. It wasn't about this or that theological comparison or comparative this or comparative that. Nor was it the, it's sort of the expectation in what's called interreligious dialogue that it's all about respectfully hearing from one another about our religious ideas and religious practices, and we appreciate you and you appreciate us, and we all sing Kumbaya. But Prabhupada had no didn't show much interest in that. He would always come to this point, practically always, that what is this animal killing? What is this cow killing? Thou shalt not kill. He wouldn't go into deeper theological, where's the question of deeper theological questions? You're killing your mother and you want to talk theology. Srila Prabhupada had no patience for it. You're killing your mother and you want to talk theology. And for Prabhupada, it also reflected a deeper ignorance on the part of the meat eaters, because it's not just a moral principle, but where's your understanding? Where's your understanding that the animal has no soul? What is that? And he would ask why. You know, it's a doctrine. It's in our religion, the animal has no. But why? You eat, the cow eats. You sleep, the cow sleeps. You mate, the cow mates. You feel pain, the cow feels pain. You want to live, the cow wants to live. You love your children, the cow loves her children. Now, show the difference, why you have a soul and the cow doesn't have a soul. What's your platform? What's your understanding? How is it that with all these points, you have a soul and the cow has no soul, or the ant has no soul, or any creature has no soul? What do you mean? And practically, I don't think I ever saw a decent answer from the other side, a sensible, cogent answer. Just, this is our teaching, this is our... But Prabhupada wasn't just talking teaching, it was common sense. On all these points, there's a living person and a dead person. What's the difference? There's a living animal and a dead animal. What's the difference? Simple thing. And one has, you can say, because consciousness is the symptom of the soul. When consciousness is gone, then death takes place. When consciousness is there, life is there. And life means soul, whatever you want to say. Again, Prabhupada would say that the animal may be less intelligent, but that's not an excuse that my brother is less intelligent, let me kill him. Aham bija pradapita. Krishna says, I'm the father of all living beings. Do you think the father likes it? My younger brother is stupid, I'm going to kill him and eat him. Again, what kind of religion is that? I was at a festival one time, somewhere in America, and one of our young devotees was manning a booth, and a Christian couple came up to them, sort of almost poster Christian, righteous Christians, you know, a tall fellow and his, prim little wife, and... bright smiles and clean clothes and good Christian people. And they'd kind of buttonholed him and they were giving him a little bit of a hard time. So I came over and started talking with them. And following Prabhupada's example, I began talking with him about this point, that how can you kill the animals and call yourselves religious people? And we went on about that and the usual arguments, well, the animal has no soul and the animal and God says and this and that. And at some point, the husband went off to do something or other. And I said to the wife, let me show you something. And around the corner from where we were talking, our devotees from, I think, Balabhadra Prabhu and his wife were there with these oxen. And we came over and sort of went in their direction. And I said, these are our oxen. She said, oh, they're so beautiful. What kind are they? I said, they're brown Swiss. She said, oh, they're so beautiful. And I said, well, you know, they were going to be killed. But our devotees fortunately saved them. Otherwise, they were going to be killed. She said, oh, that's terrible. And I said, well, now you know why we don't eat meat. And she just snapped back, well, Jesus ate meat. And, you know, right back to like a rubber band, you know, where she'd been before. I said, you're a Christian woman. Where's your heart? You know, naturally, any soft-hearted person will see the animals are so beautiful. They have life. They have feelings. Then how can you kill them for your tongue only? I was at another place. It was someone recommended. It was here in England. Someone had recommended, I'm not quite sure why, that we should visit the Jehovah's Witnesses establishment here in England. They have quite a building, and they have their own presses, and they have their own machine shop for making parts for the presses, and they print in all these different languages. And they took us on a tour. They had these are our dryers for the laundry for the devotees, the devotees who work here, and they had, you know, a huge row of industrial dryers and, you know, every kind of arrangement. And then, and this is our freezer. We have our own farms and we raise our own crops and animals. And, you know, I said, you kill the animals and eat them? And he said, well, we believe that the day will come when we'll no longer have to eat animals. I said, we believe that the day is already here. If you're dying, you can eat anything. Vishwamitra Muni one time was stranded somewhere, starving, and ate dog meat. But it doesn't mean he was no longer a Brahmin. That's called apadharma. Apadharma means emergency dharma. Just like here in England, you drive on the right side of the road. Left. Okay, I don't drive, so I don't drive on either side. You drive on the left side, do you? Okay. But in time of emergency, you can drive on any side of the road. And you can, doesn't matter what your speed limit is, you can exceed it. For the sake of an emergency, you can do anything. And the police will come and help you. Police will come and help you. You need to get a pregnant lady to the hospital, they'll give you an escort. You can drive on any side of the road you want. You can drive at any speed. But the next day, if you try the same thing, then, you know, that's a different story. Because emergency dharma is for emergencies. Emergency dharma is for emergencies. It's not an ordinary affair. But in ordinary times, if we do these things, then it's illegal. Sometimes Christians will give you that, well, Jesus ate fish. But what was the story? That Jesus was preaching off in the desert somewhere, all these people came, and they had nothing to eat. So it was reported to Jesus, they have nothing to eat. Nothing? Go look. Okay, they looked, they found a few loaves of bread and a few fish. He said, distribute. And they distributed to the multitudes, and everybody was fed. And so it's miraculous. So we're fine with that. If people are starving, feed them. Feed them fish, feed them this, feed them that, feed them anything, because otherwise they'll die. But that doesn't mean that Jesus came to bless your tuna fish factory. And anyway, if you can feed 1,000 people with, how many fish was it? No, fish. It was like 5 or something like that. Some small number. So if you can feed, 5,000, 10,000 people with 5 fish, we have no objection. But that's not your story. Your story is kill the fish wholesale for economic development so that people's tongues will be satisfied. And we're still kill the cow, the most useful animal, with no need, so that people's tongues will be satisfied. So whether you're Hindu, you're Christian, you're this, you're that, this is abominable. This is abominable. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's point. Jiyate pare jadi tabe mari prani Veda purane ache hena gyavani. In the Vedas and Puranas, there are injunctions declaring that if one can revive a living being, he can kill it for experimental purposes. Ateva jadat gaba mare munigon Veda mantre shiddha kore tahar jibon. Therefore, the great sages sometimes killed old animals, and by chanting Vedic hymns, they again brought them to life for perfection. Jarad gaba ha juba hoy arbar tate tar bhatanohe hoy upakar. The killing and rejuvenation of such old and invalid animals was not truly killing, but an act of great benefit. Kalikale taiche shokti nahik brahmane ateva govadakeha nakore ekani. Formerly, there were powerful Brahmins who could make such experiments using Vedic hymns. But now, because of Kali Yuga, Brahmins are not so powerful. Therefore, the killing of cows and bulls for rejuvenation is forbidden. So again, this was not animal killing, slaughterhouse industry, but in the Vedic sacrifices, the Brahmins would test and demonstrate the power of the Vedic mantras by killing an old animal and giving the animal new life. Now in Kali Yuga, that can't be done at all, and therefore there's no scope for that. But he's refuting that the idea that, yes, in your scriptures, cow killing also is allowed. It's not allowed. This is not the same business of cow killing and meat eating. Ashamedham gavalambham sanyasam palapatrikam devarena sutot patim Kalo Pancha Vivarjayet. In this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden: the offering of a horse in sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of the order of sannyas, the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. Purport, this is a quotation from the Brahmavivarta Purnan. Any questions so far?